Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. Don't be distracted by the incredible choral accompaniment. This show is about words, new words.
It's what dogs say when they take their picture because they can't pronounce cheese. You ever hear a basset hound try to say cheese?
Yeah.
Sure, the gospel background will entertain, but so will our fabulous selection of questions.
It's not good enough, Richard. We need more choices.
Not working for us.
So as we begin anew in Nashville, fear not. The game remains the same. The only possible change, the show's title.
Why don't you change the title to Thesaurus Rex, then?
Thesaurus Rex.
W-R-E-C-K, yeah.
The good news is Says You is back, right after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Obama heading off to California today. He'll be in Los Angeles to attend a couple of fundraisers a day after his campaign and the Democratic Party announced they raised a combined $181 million in September, by far their best fundraising month this election. NPR's S.V. Dante reports.
The total was nearly 60% more than what the campaign and the party raised in August, and comes close to the presidential campaign all-time record, $193 million, then-candidate Obama raised in September 2008. The campaign said that 98% of its contributions were $250 or less, suggesting that a large percentage of the haul was given to the campaign directly rather than to the party. That's potentially a big help in the final weeks. Candidates can buy television advertising for much lower rates than is available to parties and outside groups. Republican Mitt Romney has not yet released his numbers for September. S.V. Dante, NPR News.
Republican Mitt Romney is planning to spend a second consecutive day today in the important battleground state of Florida. He's seeking to draw on the success of his debate performance last week.
You may have heard that earlier this week we were in Denver, Ann and I were, and I enjoyed the debate a good deal, I gotta tell you.
Romney speaking there at a rally near Orlando in Apopka, Florida. The radical cleric Abu Hamza al-Masri and four other terrorism suspects made their first appearances in American courtrooms this weekend. The men had fought extradition from the United Kingdom for years. NPR's Kerry Johnson has more on what comes next.
Abu Hamza al-Masri declined to enter a plea to charges of hostage-taking and facilitating violent jihad. He's due to appear in a federal courthouse in Lower Manhattan again early next week. Two other men sent to New York to face charges they conspired with al-Qaeda to kill Americans have pleaded not guilty. They'll meet with the judge Tuesday to figure out a trial schedule. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara says their arrival is a big step.
The extradition of these three alleged terrorists to the U.S. is a watershed moment in our nation's efforts to eradicate terrorism.
Meanwhile, in Connecticut, two men accused of running extremist websites are facing life in prison if they're eventually convicted at trial. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
The first official commercial cargo mission to the International Space Station is scheduled to get off the ground tonight. The California-based private company SpaceX will attempt to send a capsule filled with supplies to the station and its three-member crew. SpaceX has already done it once back in May, but that was considered a test flight. Health officials say the death toll from an outbreak of a rare form of fungal meningitis has climbed to 7, with 65 cases now reported in 9 states. Minnesota and Ohio, the latest report confirmed cases linked to a steroid used to treat back pain. And from Washington, this is NPR News. Turkey is reported to be sending more artillery fire into Syria today. It's retaliation after a Syrian shell landed on Turkish territory. The Turks have been returning fire since Wednesday when 5 civilians in a Turkish border town were killed. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta is among those who are voicing concerns about the tensions.
I'm sure that the United States is using diplomatic channels to convey our concerns to the parties with the hope that the conflict there does not broaden.
Panetta made his remarks during a trip to Peru, where the U.S. has agreed to update its 60-year-old agreement on defense cooperation. Matia Kibitzas in the capital, Lima.
The defense agreement between the U.S. and Peru dates back from the Cold War era. During a visit to Lima, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, said that modernizing the bilateral accord would help Peru to better deal with its security challenges, from drug trafficking to terrorism. The U.S. believes that Peru is the top producer of cocaine. Its trafficking benefits rebel fighters in the Peruvian jungle. This is something that worries Washington, and Panetta said that the U.S. wanted to offer better training to the Peruvian military. But he ruled out establishing U.S. bases in Latin America, a sensitive sovereignty issue in the region. For NPR News, I'm Mattia Cabizza in Lima, Peru.
The polls are open in Venezuela, where longtime President Hugo Chavez is said to be facing a tough re-election battle. There are fears of violence. Troops have been stationed at thousands of voting centers across the country. I'm Giles Snyder, and this is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, publisher of Sun, the sequel to The Giver by Lois Lowry, an adventure that explores the bonds and boundaries of love.
I love to shout, I love to sing.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Nashville, Tennessee comes from the good folks at WPLN, Nashville Public Radio.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
From the stage of the Polk Theater at TPAC in Nashville, Tennessee, welcome to the season opener of Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. A peach of a plum, the apple of our eyes, the old top banana, Murray Horwitz. The astonishing, the incomparable, the sartorially resplendent Francine Akbar. And the slightly reserved, never indelicate, loosest cannon on the deck, Mr. Tony Khan. Who's stepping up?
The loose cannon.
Whatever that means. Mr. Khan will captain. To my left, team two. She's eager to start fresh. The sassy lassie of prose, Carolyn Faye Fox. Please. She's ready to begin anew. The wit begins anon. Paula Lyons. And he's eager to start over, make up for mistakes of the past, and see what kind of trouble he can get into tonight, Mr. Arnie Reisman. And who's the leader?
Sassy Lassie.
The sassy lassie right. Of prose, Carolyn Faye Fox. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin the new season with a new category titled You're So Smart, Carolyn. You're So Smart, what do you have to do to win a Nobel Peace Prize?
You have to achieve something tremendously significant.
And what might that be? What might the contribution be?
Don't you have to broker a peace? Or
that sounds good.
What do you have to do to win a Nobel Peace Prize?
What do you have to do?
There is actual language.
Well, think of past winners. I mean, when you have Nelson Mandela, didn't you? Or Tutu, which one?
Tutu, and
the brokered peace agreement in Northern Ireland, wasn't that?
So did Mitchell ever get one for doing that?
No, he was
Senator
nominated.
Mitchell?
I don't
think
he was nominated.
No.
You have to be a catalyst in effecting some sort of positive change.
Right.
You have to contribute more to mankind than anyone else in the previous year.
Oh, my.
Not a small achievement.
I think it's you got to contribute more to the Finnish legislature in Helsinki than anybody else.
Yeah.
Actually, it's...
grease the palm.
I think it's another country. But do you have any idea what you actually have to go through, the procedure you have to go through?
Oh, it's like a hazing.
it really is.
The vetting process?
I think on the way there, you have to take your shoes off. You got to take your belt off.
I'm going to give you 8 points so far, but can you give me the last two? Do you have any idea what you have to go through to do this?
We said no.
All right. Anybody on
the
other side? No, it's not, actually. So give them 8 points.
Is there a
nominating procedure?
Yes, there is.
Somebody nominates you.
You have to be nominated by previous...
a previous award winner.
That's one way to do it. Yes, very good, Tony. You have to be nominated by an international state, a jurist, an academic, or a former Peace Prize winner. Wow. And then you have to survive the scrutiny of a 5-man Norwegian selection panel.
In the nude.
Cross-country skiing.
And so much for, says you, and the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes. Do you want to rethink this new category?
Yeah, really. Tony.
Yeah.
Try this one. You're so smart. When do you reach terminal velocity?
Well, it depends. It's usually before you hit. just an instant before you hit.
10 points. That's fine. That's good.
No, I believe I know the answer to that question, although I don't know the exact. Of course, it also depends upon where you're falling from, but it's the speed at which you can't go any faster because either you have hit the sidewalk or there is air resistance that's holding you up.
That's exactly right. I'm glad I gave you the 10 points. Very good,
Heaven knows I've tried it.
When you're falling freely in a fluid like air or water, when the downward force of gravity is matched by the resistance in that fluid, friction or drag, anything like that, a falling object no longer accelerates. It's matched out and it's reached its terminal velocity. Okay, Arnie. You're so smart, you probably know the speed of light. What's the speed of dark?
The speed of dark.
Boy, am I going to get mail on this.
The speed of dark.
It's slower than the speed of light.
Yes.
I will say yes, it is slower than the speed of light.
It's more insidious.
Well, having never heard that there was such a thing
as the speed of dark.
This is actually a very complicated physics problem, but you're going to reduce it and simplify it.
Is this what happens when you turn off a light and then the room becomes dark?
How fast does darkness come?
Oh,
like that.
You can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
There it comes again.
I actually saw this happen to a guy who passed out on...
I thought the speed of dark was the cousin of the Duke of Earl.
No,
you don't want to take a guess? Take a guess. What's the speed of dark?
How quickly does it become dark?
Back to nanos.
An eighth.
Let me go to the other side.
Well, 16th of a second.
I mean, depending upon how, it's also the speed of light. I mean, the dark descends the second light no longer travels. And light travels at 100 and... I'm getting old, you know, but it's... 186,000 miles per hour. Per second.
That's... You know something? First of all, I'm going to give them 2 points for... A struggle that's hard to define. But anyone in the audience want to take a shot?
Considering the question.
What's the speed of dark? No, it is not. Some say it's the speed of light. There is some scientific thought to that. Darkness running in to fill the void left by the absence of light. Some say it varies, but our favorite theory is that darkness doesn't move. The speed is zero. It's the light that moves away, revealing the dark underlying.
That's a trick question. That is a trick question.
Oh, right.
I sense unrest. You disagree?
Yeah.
Some say that dark is a physical plane which exists underneath light, and that dark is actually revealed when light runs away. At least that
some
was our
the
favorite
Earth is
answer.
Flat, Richard.
Yeah, right.
In the meantime, I'm going to give you 2 points for your answer, and I'm going to light up the Daily Dispatch. Everyone write in and tell me what you think the speed of dark is.
Speed of dark.
Try this one, Francine. You're so smart.
I'm not that smart.
Kids always talk about digging a hole to China. But if you really wanted to dig a hole straight through the center of the planet and on to China, where would be the place to start?
It wouldn't be the United States.
Ooh, we got an ooh. What do you know?
Well,
it
would be. If you go from here or from Boston, you end up somewhere in the Indian Ocean, I think.
Yeah.
I believe that's true. I think it's actually in the Pacific.
Now let's kind of move things
all right,
around.
I can help here with another coordinate because my daughter taught in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And we figured, and we live in Washington, D.C., and it was like exactly the other side of the planet.
So maybe it's Nashville.
Could be Nashville.
It is not, actually. I think Nashville brings you up somewhere around Perth.
No.
I'm not really sure, but I believe that's true.
Really?
China, so maybe.
But you got to go through the center
Mexico?
Of the Earth.
South America.
Mexico? Somewhere in Mexico?
It's even further south than that.
Yeah, yeah. Further south.
You figure if China's in the northern hemisphere.
Wait, but China's a big place, man.
Right.
Let me tell you.
Peru.
Where would be a good place to start?
Peru, Chile, Ecuador.
Bolivia.
Brazil.
Well,
Argentina.
You're certainly in the right area.
Argentina.
Patagonia.
Venezuela.
It's South America. I'm going to give you guys, how many points do I give them for the struggle?
Eight.
We got eight here. We got three here. Give them 5 points for the struggle.
Okay.
They eventually got to South America.
Okay.
It's actually if you started just northwest of Buenos Aires, it would bring you up around Shanghai.
Okay.
All right, but that's you would have to start in South America to come up in China if you were going through the center of the planet.
How long would it take, Richard?
You're so smart.
The speed of dark.
Right, you're so
almost there.
All right, Paula.
Google guy, Pat.
You're so smart. Three of the top 10 most watched single programs in U.S. television history are Super Bowls. If you can name 5 others, 2 points each, you'll get 10 points.
Of these single
shows.
Single shows.
Yep, top 10 most.
That are not Super Bowls.
Thank God, because I couldn't name a Super Bowl if my life depended on it.
Well, Super Bowl 16, 17, and 20, if you want to know.
So I think it was the final episode of MASH.
That is number one.
Right. Maybe the final episode of Mary Tyler Moore?
No, it wasn't. I'm surprised. That's
final episode of Seinfeld?
No, actually. It's amazing.
Wow.
I think by that time the audience had gotten kind of...
Okay, so it's
is it anything to do with Carol Burnett?
No.
Let's
you have
see.
The MASH finale. That's number one.
I remember MASH. No, but there was one other really famous one.
Some of these you're going to love.
Are we talking Assassination?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, wait a minute.
We might assassinate Richard.
Yeah. In a way, yes, we are.
Yeah.
In a way?
Who killed J.R. on Dallas?
Who killed J.R.? Number two.
That's two.
Number two is who shot J.R.? You're up to 4 points.
Who shot J.R.?
Right.
Oh, how about the landing on the moon?
No.
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 Worldwide, yes. Anybody else want to take a shot?
What about the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, which was flown in by the two different networks?
No Oscar.
The marriage of Prince Diana and Chuck?
No.
Yeah, not Princess Di and Chuck.
Here we go.
Diana's funeral?
Are you ready for this?
What? Diana's funeral.
No, besides the three Super Bowls, you have MASH finale was number one. Who shot J.R.? You got that. Number five was Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding skating short program.
What?
Wow. Number six was Michael Jackson talks to Oprah.
Oh my God.
And numbers 9 and 10 were Gone with the Wind, parts 1 and 2.
Oh, my.
So none of that is news-related.
So how many points did you give us for getting 2 out of 3?
2 points each for the 2, and 1 bonus point is 5 points. You get 5 points for that.
Two out of three.
Murray, if you get this, I won't believe it. But I want you to think about it.
Me neither.
Think about it and see if you can do this. You're so smart.
Don't be sarcastic with me, please.
When are you most likely to hear intoned the phrase over and over, boots and cats?
Boots and cats?
Yes. You know this?
Yeah, no, there were two drugstores that merged in London.
Yeah, boots and cats. Over and over, you hear boots and cats.
Boots and cats. It's not one of those things that you say to get a crowd noise, is it?
It is not. This,
you've got it. It's like cabbages and peas. It's what actors say to one another on stage when they're supposed to be talking.
It is not, but you're getting there. You're starting to go in the
boots
right direction.
It's what politicians say when people think they're actually saying something.
You're getting there. This, incidentally, was the contribution of my son.
I used to like that kid.
So we're getting there. We're getting there with the idea of a din.
It's pretending to speak. It's a pretending to speak phrase.
It is not a pretending to speak. No.
Maybe you're testing the sibilance of a microphone.
Well, you're doing something with that.
It's what dogs do. It's what dogs say when they take their picture because they can't pronounce cheese. You ever hear a basset hound try to say cheese?
Yeah.
I guarantee you don't want to see a Doberman Pinscher say cheese.
Is it a warm-up exercise of some kind?
Oh, that's a great guess, and I'm going to give you some points for that. Anybody on the other side want to try?
Is it for a camera test?
No. Anybody in the audience?
Beatboxing.
When you are beatboxing in a cappella, you say, and you want to be the beatbox, you say, boots and cats, boots and cats.
I should have known, because my daughter was in the Hamiltones, an a cappella group
there
at
you
Hamilton
go.
College, and I should have
probably
known.
Probably knows her boots and cats.
She probably knows her boots and cats.
Very good. Give them 5 points, even it out. And very good, you guys. Nice way to open the season.
Boots and cats.
Richard, I finally learned something useful on this show.
Yes, boots and cats.
Boots and cats. Now I can make like that noise.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from the Fisk Jubilee Singers. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word dirl. D-I-R-L. Dirl.
Dirl?
Folks?
Dirl?
Not dirl?
Dirl.
I made my bow to the Lord, and I never will turn. The end will be done. Open my mouth to the Lord, and I never will turn back. Oh, I will go. I shall go to see what the end will be.
Says You's Caravan of Cajolery stops next in Hartford, Connecticut, Friday night, October 12th, for a live performance at the University of Hartford. Then the next weekend, Saturday, October 20th, it's on to the Dairy State for some constant badgering at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. In November, we invade Syracuse, New York for our salute to the Salt City, November 16th and 17th. And finally, on December 30th, we're back in Boston to end the year, and if legend is correct, all of history. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Says You returns after this from home.
every star refuse, who shall I
go? Who shall go?
I know King Jesus will be glad to
see what the end will be.
Dawn made my vow to the Lord, and I never will turn back. I will go, I shall go, to see what the end will be.
When it says you come into our town, where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website at sezyou.net. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at sezyou.net. That's SAYSYOU.
I will go, I shall go to see what the end will be.
That is the Fisk Jubilee Singers. Under the direction of Dr. Paul Kwame. Thank you very much, folks, for bringing history to this show. We appreciate it. We have had a few moments with the word Daryl. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox. Oh.
Daryl. At first, I thought it was pronounced Durl. It would be a slang term for a dirty girl. But it's not. Yeah, it's pronounced sure. Daryl. And a Daryl is an ungracious response to an apology. As in, I'm sorry I shot the squirrel. Yeah, right, would be the Daryl.
I'm sorry, so what? That would be a Daryl. Okay, that could possibly be it, or it could be something else. Arnold?
It's a mini dirndl. It's actually a verb. It's to spin, to tremble, to worry, to quiver.
What?
It's one of those.
could you say that again with commas
tremble,
in the proper
quiver,
place?
To shake around.
Huh?
To shake, to quiver, to shake, to jerk around, I guess, would be
something like that, yeah.
To dirl. That could be it.
Right.
Or it could be something else. Paula, what say you?
Duke of Earl.
Yeah, I mean, when I first heard it, I thought maybe that was a female dervish or something. But actually, it is not. It is nothing more than a mud hole. That's what a dural is.
A mud hole.
A mud hole.
Let's not get complicated. A mud hole is a dural. It is either a mud hole, to quiver and shake, or an ungracious response to an apology. It is one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa is all I can say. I mean, whoa. And I mean like the... response to an apology. It's a very interesting concept, and it certainly deserves a word. But I don't see Daryl being in that competition. To shake and quiver, other than the somewhat misleading fact that it sounds like whirl. It
sounds like whirling dervish.
Yeah, whirling dervish. Still, the idea, you know, it's a short enough word that it could be for a brief action, you know, like dirl it, dirl it. Mud hole, you know, it's mud hole seems like just the kind of thing that it should be. And for that reason, 16 years of experience on the show tells me it can't be. What do you think about the quiver shake?
I want it to be a noun so that I could hear the Temptations go, I got sunshine, my girl. Talking about
my girl.
I tripped.
That was my Barack Obama impersonation, by the way.
What? This passes for analysis. Yeah.
Clearly, we're all buffering here. We're not exactly
So if
coming
you wanted it to be a noun... Where yes. would that lead you
that
in this choice?
Very
the old
reluctantly
mud hole?
To
the old
Ms.
Mud
Fox
hole.
Because
oh,
dural sounds too much like dirt, but I think it's mud hole sounds real good to me, but I don't know. I'm using Tony. I'm glad you're the captain, Tony.
So am I.
This
so
is
am
tough.
How about shake and quiver? Listen, I got to make some.
Go for it. Go for it.
Okay,
we
shake,
can go with
quiver, Arnie's.
Arnie, the captain has stepped up. Tony has taken the reins and said that he thinks that Dural is to shake and quiver. Is that in fact what it means?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
10 points. Oh. Nicely done, Tony.
What a thoughtful answer.
I'm shocked.
Nicely done.
Shocked, I tell you. Shocked.
Yes, you are.
This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Would you please put your hands together for Jessica and Edward Cardona? Thank you very much, guys, for keeping the score.
In 1873, a group of Fisk University students toured Great Britain and Europe. Great Britain and Europe had never heard anything like it. Our special guest tonight, the Fisk Jubilee Singers. And starting over there, can you all quickly say your name so that we know who you are?
I'm Christina Peterson.
Eric Copeland.
DeAndre Jones.
Audrey Tillis.
Rhea Beckett.
Brianna Barber.
Charles Mitchell.
Antonio Hayes.
Cameron Clark.
Christina Jackson.
Miracle Ham.
And Ronaldo Billups.
The Fisk Jubilee Singers. Thank you very much. Wow. And let's go on to round three, a round of Roger's Revenge. I'll give you three definitions for a common word, one at a time. The faster you can tell me what that word is, the more points you'll amass. For example, if I said sheer or steep.
Precipitous.
No, and to that I added standing out prominently. No?
Jut? No.
And to sheer and steep and standing out prominently, I said fearless and intrepid. Ooh, this is going to be tough.
Dauntless?
The answer would be bold.
Bold.
All right, let's try this, see what happens. Carolyn, what word am I defining? The first definition, staunch and enduring.
Staunch and enduring.
How about lasting?
Lasting. That sounds good.
No, that's not it. To staunch and enduring, add dark ale.
Say that again.
Dark ale?
Dark
stout?
Stout is exactly right. 7 points. Very good, Arnold.
Staunch and enduring? All right.
To staunch and enduring and dark ale, we would have added heavy set, but you didn't need that. Try this one, Tony. What word am I defining? First definition, the strictest sense of something.
Narrow? The strictest sense of something.
I think I heard somebody over here.
No. Wait a second.
The strictest sense of something.
I'm buffering. Strictest sense of something. Pointed?
No.
All right, narrow.
No, I'm sorry?
Narrow.
No. To the strictest sense of something, add Varsity achievement.
Oh, letter. The letter of the law. And then.
Oh, hark. And the voice of Murray is heard throughout the land saying what?
Letter.
Letter is exactly right.
Letter.
That's 7 points also. To the strictest sense of something, the letter of the law, and varsity achievement, we were going to add alphabet unit, but you did not need that.
Yes.
Try this one. Now they're starting. Now we'll get really hard. See if we can do this.
What used to go in a mailbox? Oh.
Try this one, Arnold. Stealthily steal.
Stealthily steal.
Yep. Swipe. Filch.
Filch. Pilfer.
None of those three.
Purloin. Oh.
Not even that one.
Okay, we're not going in.
To stealthily steal, add Bernoullian variable.
Variable.
Yes. Bernoullian, B-E-R-N-O-U-L-L-I-A-N.
Bernoullian.
Bernoullian variable.
Stealthily steal.
Stealthily steal.
Oh, I heard it in the audience.
Bernoullian.
Sneak.
I think we got to go to the third one for this one.
All right, go ahead.
To stealthily steal and Bernoullian variable, add plantar insert that adds height.
Lift.
Lift is exactly right.
Oh, three. Bernoullian variable.
Bernoulli's principle. Lift. That's the variable.
Yes.
Lift is right. Very good. 3 points. Francine, try this one. Efficient. What word?
Efficient. Quick.
Yeah, it's a good guess, but not correct.
All right.
To efficient, add having little fat.
Oh.
Lean.
Lean is right. 7 points.
Yeah.
Nice job. All right. Now listen to this one, Paula. This is going to be tough, but
I'm
you
listening.
Can do it. Try this one. What word am I defining? First definition, injury healing acronym.
Injury healing acronym.
Yes.
Scar?
No.
Acronym.
Yeah. Maybe it stands for something.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Injury healing acronym.
Oh, rice.
Huh?
Rice.
Very
10
good.
10 points is
yes.
exactly right.
Yeah. Explain.
Very good, Carol.
Yeah.
Would you explain to the audience?
Rest, ice, compression, and elevate.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, girl. You pulled that out of some place.
That's what I've been doing wrong. All these years I thought it was rest, ice, compression, and alcohol.
Oh. Yeah. It's all right. I thought it was potato, and I was trying to spell it out.
Or was that ethanol?
Ethanol, right?
That's very good. I thought you would get it with to produce strings of food. When you rice food through a ricer, but no. All right, and try this one, Murray.
Well, I don't cook.
This is the toughest one of them all.
Oh, thank you, Richard.
What word am I defining? First definition, without.
Oh.
Well, it's either boots or cats. Without. Sands.
Oh, it could be.
Right?
Yeah.
What else? What else? Help me out here. Without. Oh, without. Without me could mean outside of or...
Oh. Minus.
Oh. No, but minus doesn't have other...
No, that's not it.
To lacking, without... lacking.
Lacking is not right.
Okay.
To without, add lost in thought, inattentive.
Distracted. Let me. So he is not distracted because that doesn't mean lacking. Distracted. Lost in thought. Let's, come on. You're daydreaming.
I'm thinking muse, but it's not muse.
No. Okay. What's
adrift.
The third?
Adrift. Vague.
No.
And to without and lost in thought, inattentive, add not present.
Oh
absent.
Absent is
thank
right.
Absent.
3 points.
Thank you.
Nice job. That is a tough one.
Thank you.
But I really... I love that round. It gives the radio audience a chance to catch up. So thanks for that.
Catch up. Why don't you change the title to Thesaurus Rex then?
Thesaurus Rex.
Yeah, W-R-E-C-K. Yeah.
That's a great one. I think I'm going to do that. Let's go on to round 4, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun. Ooh, excuse me. Which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Please create a definition for the word lurgy.
Lurgy.
L-U-R-G-Y. Lurgy.
Hold that up so the audience can see.
Folks? For the king cried, oh, Daniel, Daniel, oh. Just a quick reminder, Says You performs live this fall on Friday, October 12th in Hartford, Connecticut, on Saturday, October 20th in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, November 16th and 17th in Syracuse, New York, and December 30th at Regis College in Weston, Massachusetts. Tickets, information, and details for all Says You performances are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We'll be right back. You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. That is the artistry and history of the Fisk Jubilee Singers. Thank you very much. We have had a few wonderful moments there with the word lurgy. We will go first to Tony Khan.
It does have, you know, almost like an ecclesiastical kind of sound to it, doesn't it? Like clergy or liturgy, you know. But it's not. It's not. its derivation, of course, is Scottish.
Yeah.
No. You know, our favorite source of words, and it means itchy or allergic, as my Scottish doctor allergic. Says to me, are you allergic to penicillin? Itcha. Are you? Well, are you?
Are you?
And you're going, give with you that. The you're going with that.
Allergy. Allergy. Itchy.
Itchy.
Allergic.
Allergic. Okay. Could be. Could be. I've heard stranger. But it might be something else. Francine, what's your take?
Lurgy. A not necessarily real ailment that would cause preteenage boys to say, ew, cooties. Something like that.
It's describing the boys or what they're looking at?
The thing they're afraid of getting.
A not necessarily real ailment. Like cooties, okay? That could be it.
That's it?
An ersatz thing, kind of a made-up thing.
Kind of a made-up ailment.
Like cooties, right?
That's kind of, all right, that could be it. Or it could be something else. What say you, Murray?
I can't figure this out. Except that if you've spent any time in a mine, I haven't, you know that when the coal train comes out, the coal carts come out, they kind of lurch from side to side. I don't know. Anyway, it's a coal cart. That's what it is.
A coal cart.
It's a noun, a lurgy.
Okay, a lurgy. Coming right out of the coal mine, the lurgy. All right? It could be a coal cart.
Like the tumblers.
It could be a not necessarily real ailment, or it could be itchy, allergic. It is one of those three, and the choice is yours, Carolyn.
Oh, it's not good enough, Richard.
Not
we need more choices.
Not working for us.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, it needs more Scottish or something.
I don't know, although...
Or more Scotch.
You probably need more Dutch.
More Scotch.
Dutch. Well, itchy, I would say that wearing a kilt properly would probably be itchy.
Yeah.
Are you allergic or just happy to see me?
There you go.
You're setting a very low standard out there when you laugh at that.
Oh, Richard, it could get lower.
And one to which I aspire, I might
yes.
say.
It doesn't sound sort of reminiscent of allergy that he's taking
it does.
Off. But
it does sound like allergy, which also makes me suspicious of Francine's definition of a made-up ailment.
As well as Murray's, which sounds like metallurgy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I might go with Tony for itchy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Truly now.
Truly. Going for something Scottish? Has Scottish ever been the actual derivation of anything we've given?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
It has occasionally been.
Occasionally.
And, he may be trying to throw us off.
I just want to kick something around here, you know.
Oh, sure. Let's try the speed of dark again.
This made-up disease, this ersatz disease, was that just a little bit too convoluted to be...
Well, it could be, but
could
it's also one of these things...
Something?
I don't know. It's one of these things I still can't figure out whether I've got the ersatz disease and I'm using it as an excuse or you've got cooties, so I'm not sure.
So we don't think it's a coal cart?
No.
I think...
Bueno.
I know.
Okay, so we've narrowed it down.
Go ahead. You're captain.
But the two of you think that it's Francine's. Is that it?
No, I'm not saying that.
I was just kicking it around. Kicking the can down the road. No, if you want to go with itchy, we'll go with itchy.
All right, even though I dread that it might be Francine, I will go with the itchy.
Tony, now that you're dreading.
Yeah. Okay. Tony, that was your definition, that lurgy means itchy, allergic.
Yeah.
Is that, in fact, what it means?
Well, first I'd just like to say that what I like most about this round is the lesson in civics that it provides to our listeners and proper adult social behavior and getting hopelessly confused. I lied when I said it was Scottish in origin. I also lied when I said it Menichi.
Oh, there you go.
10 points. That was a bluff.
That was a bluff.
All right, audience. What do you think? How many? What do you think? How many say?
They're all saying cold cards.
Wait. All right, audience. How many say the not necessarily real ailment?
Yeah.
Okay. How many say the coal cart? Well. There's not much doubt in this audience, Murray, that lurgy is a coal cart. Is that, in fact, what it is?
It teaches you something about crowdsourcing. It says, please bluff.
It says, please bluff. Because the definition actually reads...
Lurgy, an indefinite but highly contagious, usually fictitious ailment. For example, cooties.
There you go. 10 points.
Well, there you go.
Tony's team.
Good
job.
Sorry,
let's go out tonight
with
a smoking hot category if ever we've had one. Believe it or not, it has been over 40 years since we've heard the following themes on television and radio. 10 points if, through the haze, you can melodically retrieve, Carolyn, the Winston jingle.
Oh.
Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should.
Well, we need... That's it.
Remember?
I'm disappointed I didn't get the hand clap, so we'll go Winston tastes good like a...
Excuse me, we are in Music City, USA, and that jingle was never better played than at the end of the Beverly Hillbillies when Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs would say, Wince, and, you know, Earl Scruggs would do the band, Lester tastes good like a cigarette.
That's right. That's right. That's true. Very good.
I just want to know how Carolyn is old enough to know that.
Try this one, Tony. How were we invited to sample... Muriel Cigars.
Oh. Oh, with the da 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 da.
No.
No, that's the wrong one. That.
This is an interesting story. This was the comedian Ernie Kovacs had a contract with Muriel Cigars.
Wasn't it with the Dutch?
He was killed in an automobile accident. His wife Edie Adams survived him, and she said, "I'll do the commercials."
Right.
And she would sing. May I? Go ahead.
Yes, please.
You get the light touch and the right taste. The blend is sublime.
Oh.
Why don't you pick one up and smoke it sometime?
10 points.
Well done.
You're right.
This is their day over here.
I was so busy falling in love with Edie Adams.
You know,
I didn't hear a word that she said.
Exactly. Yeah. Didn't sell no cigars, but boy, I remember Edie Adams.
Oh, she was wonderful.
All right, try this one. I don't know if you'll get this or not, but give this a shot, Arnie. What were we urged to do, commercially speaking, when a certain cigarette advertiser played the William Tell Overture?
Oh, boy.
Remember this?
Show us your lark pack?
Yes!
That's exactly right. Very good. Do you remember what it looked like, what the commercial looked like?
Well, it was driving past all these people on the road, basically, and they were all whipping out their packages of cigarettes.
They drove around in a pickup truck with a big sign on the back saying, Show us your lark pack.
But it was also, William Tell Overture was also used, and it might have been a Stan Freberg authored commercial for Gino's Pizza Rolls. Have a beat.
That's true.
We've actually done that Gino Pizza Rolls commercial. Yeah. This is non-commercial radio.
You're not supposed to do that.
We did it anyway.
We have done
it. All right. Yeah, try this one, Francine. What stirring anthem was originated by Virginia Slims?
No, that's not something.
Gosh.
Wasn't it? It was about women.
Yes.
It's
something about I'm as good as a man because I can get cancer too. I think that was.
Right.
Yeah. The equal opportunity cigarette.
He's closer than you realize.
No. Oh yeah.
I remember this.
I'm a woman.
You remember this one?
I think so.
I make a dress out of a feed bag. I'll make a man out of you. Not that one.
No.
Was it Anne Murray's I Am Woman? No, it's not that one. I Am Woman, Hear Me Cough.
No.
That was Helen Reddy, not Anne Murray.
Oh, Helen Reddy, I'm sorry. Some Canadian.
The other side knows this. I
my kind of smoke or something.
Virginia Slims. Oh, they, I don't think they remember this. Yep. Paula does.
You heard the Paula. Okay.
You've come a long way.
You've come a long way, baby.
Yes.
That's right.
All right.
And here you stop.
You've come a long way, baby, to get where you got to today. Try this one. Well, Paula, this will be a real test. A jazzy background and a crowded nightclub provided the backdrop for this nicotine entreaty. Who was saying what? A jazzy background and a crowded nightclub.
Was this Have a Cools?
Not a Cool. Actually, it wasn't strictly speaking a cigarette.
It wasn't?
Oh.
So it was a pacifier.
Cigarillo.
Oh.
Oh.
Tipperillo.
You remember what it actually was? It is Tipperillo.
It's a tiny cigar with it's a little
with a cigarette holder.
Right, but do you remember what the actual phrase was?
It's a tiny cigarette with a cigar on top.
I'll give you 5 points. 5 points for Tipperillo. Audience. Tipperillo.
Cigars, cigarettes, Tipperillo.
Right.
That's what it was. It was the cigarette girl walking through going, cigars, cigarettes, Tipperillos.
Lung cancer.
And finally, Murray. And if you want to help out, you can help out with this. Murray, if you will, take us melodically to Marlboro Country. No, that's not it.
Oh, that's not it?
That's right.
I heard it last night on Dumb. Listen, the band last night at Robert's Western World on Broadway opened their set with that theme.
With the Marlboro theme?
With the Marlboro theme, they did, and I blew it.
Came in handy, 10 points for you.
Thank you.
That makes this week's final score 87 to 57 in favor of this week's winners, Tony Khan's team. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. We want to thank Rob Gordon, the unbelievable Donna Robinson, and all the good folks at WPLN here in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you so much. Thanks. Thanks also to Teresa Ellithorpe and J.R. Hutchins here at TPAC. Sharon Salkin write the words. Antonio Oliart captures the moment. And Zach Moore is the VIP of APs. We close this week from beautiful Nashville, where by law, you can't play pinball till you're 18 years old, and you can't roller skate and listen to the radio at the same time. We don't know why, but that's how it is in Nashville, and we'll see you all next week.
Support for Says You in Nashville, Tennessee comes from the good folks at WPLN, Nashville Public Radio.
I'm talking to the frame. I'm talking to the frame.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
The HCA TriStar Broadway series at TPAC offers season subscriptions with single tickets to 9 different Broadway shows, beginning with the comedy Anything Goes, White Christmas, Catch Me If You Can, Traces, Peter Pan with Kathy Rigby, American Idiot, Flashdance, Rock of Ages, and Disney's award-winning The Lion King. All Broadway season tickets are available now online at TPAC.org, the TPAC box office, or 782-4040.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.